Some people like to deep clean every Saturday morning. I prefer to spend a few minutes every day keeping things fresh with Lysol. Lysol's toilet bowl cleaner disinfects both the toilet brush and bowl for 2-in-1 disinfection, killing 99.9% of viruses and bacteria. Don't just clean, Lysol clean.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Back to a special edition of the Net Report podcast. I'm your host, Mike Broadbent. Joining me is my co-host, Richie O'Leary. We have a packed podcast for you today. We'll have Pat Hobbs later on the show returning once again to discuss a litany of topics, basically anything you could possibly think of. We had a thread up on the board for questions to get asked. We tried to synthesize those down as much as we could. So that is a really good interview coming later in the show. But first, some housekeeping. The presenting sponsor of the Night Report podcast is Night and Day Apparel. Calling all Rutgers students, alumni, and fans. Are you looking for new and unique Rutgers merchandise? Night and Day Apparel has you covered. From t-shirts and hoodies to drinkware and pet accessories, Night and Day focuses on providing the Rutgers community with exclusive one-of-a-kind tailgating products like the Trapezoid of Terror shirts, this awesome crew neck sweatshirt, which I love. Be sure to check out today's links in the podcast below to get their website and social media information so you can stay on top of everything Night and Day, including new merch drops and promotional announcements. Shop now and keep shopping. Yeah, this is only the second time I won. This only other time was the Pinstripe Bowl. So,
do we have some good luck today? We get some breaking news?
I think we
news?
Do. Yeah, we might have a whole shopping cart full of news for you guys coming later in the show.
Some interesting stuff.
Some very interesting stuff. We are also brought to you by the Cut app. I love betting. Betting with my friends, especially, really on anything. Who can, you know, win a game of Mario Kart? Who's the fastest? You know, who's going to win at the, you know, in this specific game coming up in the NCAA tournament? That's what Cut allows you to do. It's a peer-to-peer social betting platform.
Pretty
it's
good.
Legal in 40-plus states. Cut has customizable odds, tracking capabilities, and an entire social network with group chats, user profiles, and rewards. All the payments are made through the app. You don't need Venmo or anything like that. Use our promo code Believe Rutgers. That's BLEAV Rutgers. You get a 10% welcome bonus, but don't forget to use that promo code. Cut. Put your money where your mouth is. Without further ado, though, let's just hop right into this interview with Pat Hobbs. Thanks again, Pat, for coming on, and we'll go to that now. Joining us back now on the podcast is Rutgers Athletics Director Pat Hobbs. Pat, thanks once again for joining us.
Good to be with you guys today.
Absolutely. We have a lot to talk about today, so we'll just get right into it.
Is there anything going on in the world of college athletics?
I don't know. You'd be better to talk about that than us. But recently, you released a video advocating for businesses, alumni, and fans to support Rutgers athletes by helping them receive financial compensation for their name, image, and likeness. How long has that video been in development, and what's the response your office has received since the video came out? And do you expect to produce more content like this in the future? And also anything in particular that spurred this video to come out?
Well, I think you remember back in the fall, I put a statement out, sort of similar sentiment that there are these opportunities out there, you know, whatever, a lot of different avenues to do this, right? You know, we're at a time where I think people need to know even more that our student athletes need that support, that it helps our coaches, right? It helps on the recruiting front. You know, we're at an important time of year with all that going on. So I just wanted to make sure that folks out there knew that we need them. We need them to support our student athletes. There's a variety of ways that you do that. So, yeah, I probably will try to be more public with that. Those who, you know, work with me day to day and know in the department, know there's not a day where I wake up and I'm not thinking about NIL and how do we do that for our student athletes. In our conversations with our sponsors, we're always mentioning that, hey, we love the sponsorship. We love the support of Rutgers. But there's also things that you can do with our student athletes. I think folks saw the opening of the ShopRite earlier this week with Destiny and Jeremiah down there. That's something that I had pitched to the folks at ShopRite when we tried to work our deal together is, you know, listen, as we go down this partnership together, who better to promote your stores, your products and everything else than our student athletes. And you know, we're very grateful to the folks at ShopRite for seeing the value in doing that, because I think as these things happen, more and more folks around Rutgers will say, hey, I want to do that. That's great. Let me bring these kids down to our showroom on a Saturday for autographs, whatever it happens to be. So I've been pretty intentional behind the scenes in trying to make and promote our student athletes and the value that they can have. But I thought the video was important at this time as well. You know, as we're, you know, you're always recruiting, you're always trying to get players signed, but obviously this is a pretty important time with the transfer portals opening and people are paying a lot of attention. And for some folks, the sky is falling. For some folks, the skies are opening up with opportunity. So I thought this was a good time to get that out. And I hope it's, you know, it hit the right note for folks. I think it did. I've gotten a lot of positive feedback from people.
Gotcha. So let me ask you this, a little bit of a two-part question. First off, do you think, this is more opinion-based, I guess, do you think college athletics can survive based on the current way of the NIL, the transfer portal? And then my second part was more of how hard is it to keep fans and people engaged in this crazy world of college sports right now?
Well, they're engaged. Because you know, it's hard not to be when you see some of the things that are happening on a day-to-day basis. Mm-hmm. I've said this from the beginning. We need rules, right? We need a set of rules. Tell me, you know, right now, as you, you know, people have described it as the Wild West. If you think about it, there is no other industry that operates the way that we are right now, right? Yeah. So, you know, let's start by looking at the professional leagues, right? The professional leagues, you got collective bargaining, you've got a contract, you have a set of workplace rules. Mm-hmm. You know, you sign somebody to a 4-year contract, they're going to play for you for 4 years unless, you know, some other arrangement gets worked out. But you don't get promised 4 years and then 2 weeks later decide, you know what, I think I want to take myself elsewhere. I'm going to jump into the portal and do that. And I think that it, unfortunately, we're going to learn over time that we have a lot of young people making really bad decisions. And we see that, I think, somewhere upwards of over 40% of the student athletes that entered the portal did not find a landing spot. So you gave up an opportunity. You know, think back to, they probably spent 2 years figuring out where they want to start their college education, right? Mm-hmm. They do all the research. They meet with the coaches. They meet with the team. And some are in 24 hours deciding they're going to go somewhere else. Yep. That they've been promised a certain existence or a certain reality, or maybe even they've been promised that certain NIL opportunities are going to be presented for them, but it's not in writing, right? There's no contract. Mm-hmm. There's a contract. You know, I haven't seen any of these. There's probably outs in those contracts. So I think we can't keep going like this. I think everybody recognizes this can't be our reality going forward in college athletics, because you will have the haves and the have-nots. You will have really bad outcomes, sometimes for student athletes, sometimes for programs. Mm-hmm. You have folks who are now in this world who think they're agents, right? I'm always wanted to be an agent, and here's an opportunity to jump in and put myself off as an agent. At times you have four or five people calling a coach and saying they represent this individual. You're not even sure if they know the individual. And so that doesn't help anybody. But the people it hurts the most are going to be the student athletes. So I think we need a set of rules. And I don't know what those rules are. I know, you know, at the conference level, we're giving a lot of thought to that. I jump back again and I think our starting point should always be, what value do we currently give our student athletes? Let's leave NIL aside and all of the other, you know, I sent three kids to college and to graduate school, and I would have loved for somebody to give them a scholarship to take care of that cost. I probably could retire on what I paid colleges and everything else, right? So there's still a great value in what we provide our student athletes. It's a scholarship. It's cost of attendance. It's really, really high quality health care. It's high quality mental health care. It's apparel. It's opportunities to travel overseas, and maybe like our men's and women's soccer programs were just overseas. You know, for many of those student athletes, they had to go get a passport. They never traveled before, right? Our men's basketball team was in Senegal and Portugal last summer. They had to go get passports. They saw a country in Senegal that's very different than the country they live in, and they come back with a greater appreciation. So lost in all of this conversation is what we are currently doing and what we have been doing. And I think that's challenging. The other piece that gets lost is that, you know, we talk about, well, these are the media rights contracts and what, you know, and the revenue that's coming into the departments. That revenue is also doing a lot to support our women's programs, right? I mean, Title IX is a little over 50 years old now. And so you're able to have a high quality field hockey program and women's lacrosse program and women's soccer program, because football, and clearly football, right, is driving the revenue for our conference and for each individual school. And so I guess what I'm looking for is, give me a set of rules and have balance. Have balance so that we can preserve what's really, really great about college athletics. Because we don't want to end up, in my view, I don't want to end up in a situation where folks are screaming down at our athletes on the field because of some, in their view, poor performance. And they're thinking, well, we're paying them, so they should, they need to, they're not Eli Manning, right? When Eli Manning played for the Giants, you could yell at him all you want because he was making however much he was making a year. And one of the great things about college athletics is we cheer for young kids who came, they come to get an education. Maybe they're now benefiting from their name, image, and likeness, like a Caitlin Clark, right? But people still with Caitlin Clark out there on the court, they don't see her as an employee of Iowa University, right? They see her as a really talented young woman who is inspiring a lot of young women to get into sport, whether it's basketball or otherwise. And that's what's really special to me about college athletics. It's why I came from where I was to Rutgers, because I saw an opportunity to work with 700 student athletes, the 99% of them who are going to go on to other things in life, but they get to enjoy their physical talent, their athletic talent. They get to inspire a university and an alumni base. And I just don't want to lose that.
Yeah, and I think you've seen that kind of creep in a bit, where people are a little bit more harsh towards athletes now. But I think what gets lost in this is some get paid, some don't. All professional athletes get paid, but professional athletes also are full grown adults. Like, their brains have fully matured. Like, an 18-year-old dealing with, you know, adversity, like their first year at college, they're hearing all these new things thrown at them by, you know, opposing fans, things like that. That is a lot harder to deal with. You know, might be your first time away from home. And it's much different than, you know, an Eli Manning, like you said, who's 32 years old and he's getting stuff yelled at him at the Super Bowl. That is an entirely different existence. So, yeah, I totally agree with what you're saying.
Yeah, and to, 100% right. And to your point, you know, this is the first generation that has always had the phone, right? Always had the iPhone. Yep. It's the first generation that has always been exposed to social media, to anonymous critics. Right, to people who can, you know, instantaneously bash them online. And it's impossible, you know, if we could all sort of snap our fingers, we would make sure that none of them looked at social media until they were 25 years old, to your point, right?
Yeah.
And I always bring up in conversation Anthony Ashnault's national championship year. Anthony Ashnault got off all social media, completely shut it down. He was off everything. And he has talked to our teams about the value of that, how from a mental approach, from a mental peace during the course of that year, he was able to focus on what can I, Anthony Ashnault, do? And he goes out and he wins a national championship. Now, I will tell you, he's had that conversation in front of our teams. And as soon as the conversation is done, everybody's pulling out their phone and looking at their social media feed. So it's an addiction, right? It's an addiction.
Yeah, yeah.
And as much as I think they do know that, hey, it really doesn't matter what that person thinks. You're young, you're impressionable. It hurts. Listen, you know, I'm 64 years old, and when somebody's bashing me out, I really don't go on message boards. I don't go on social media. I have people who tell me sort of, hey, I think you need to respond to this because there's some misinformation out there. But, you know, it affects people. So I most care about 18, 19, 20-year-old kids who shouldn't have this kind of pressure, right? This pressure didn't exist 20 years ago in college athletics. Didn't really exist 10 years ago in college athletics. And so I don't know what the answer is, but I hope we can get back to a world where their mental health is protected in a better way.
Totally agree. You kind of alluded to this earlier, but you know, with the football team returning most of its starters next year, coming off a bowl win, basketball program signing two of the top three players in the country, every season for Rutgers athletics is obviously exciting. But is there a different type of buzz and urgency inside the athletics department right now, given all the expectations and all the hype around these two programs leading into next calendar year?
So I think the short answer is yes. I enter every year, every new academic year, thinking that this will be the greatest year in Rutgers athletics history. And I have that confidence because I'm confident in my coaches, confident in the way they run their programs. They do it the right way. But yes, as we look forward to this year, I think there is an added buzz around this year. People are really, really super excited to get this football season going, as am I. I think Greg has done an extraordinary job. Greg and his staff have done an extraordinary job this year. When you look at what's happened with some of the other teams, like even the bowl game, right? Our kids all wanted to play, right?
Yeah.
Now, Miami had a lot of kids who, you know, decided that they didn't want to play. But our kids wanted to play. They wanted to play at Yankee Stadium. It was a great result. And I think that sort of kicked off the expectation about, wow, look at what happened this year. Wait at what happens next year. Mm-hmm. And we've got a great team coming back. We've got some veteran folks. Folks will get into the quarterback controversy and all that. I love our quarterback room. So I love the guys that are in there, and they'll all figure it out. Obviously, with Kirk Shirokin, the second year of running our offense, I think we'll start blending in some other things. So I think people are going to see an exciting offense this year. Our defense is outstanding. I like our schedule. I like our schedule.
Not the murderer's row anymore.
You know, we're going to go out to USC. That's going to be exciting. We have tens of thousands of alums in California. So we'll make sure that we plan a week out there to enjoy that. And then we welcome UCLA and Washington, right? Washington just played in the national championship game. Mm-hmm. So if folks don't get excited about this football season, I'm not sure how to help them. You look at field hockey. Field hockey has everybody back in a team that really could challenge for a national championship. Our soccers, I believe, will both be stronger. Look at what's happening with track right now, right? So, you know, track is that year-long sort of activity. Got Chloe Timberg, who finished third in the NCAAs. You've got some of the other kids that have medaled at, I think, 7 or 8 podiums at Big Tens this year. Yeah, across the board, look what baseball, softball are doing right now. They're both playing really, really well. So across the board, if folks aren't excited about next year, and in wrestling, you know, I mean, it's
nine to ten guys coming back. Yep.
folks go after Goody. I mean, like, the guy's done a pretty extraordinary job here.
Yeah.
And, you know, we had two All-Americans. We got a great recruiting class coming in. As you said, everybody's coming back. So that makes everybody better. You look at, you know, Dylan and sort of his progression over the course of the year to go and win a Big Ten championship this year. So I don't there shouldn't be any sport people aren't excited about. They will be. This is the year. Get your tickets. If you don't have your tickets at Jersey Mike's, you're probably going to be going on the secondary market and paying a heck of a lot of price for that. But yeah, this is I'm really excited about it. And everybody should be as well. And that should then get them more focus on how do they help us, right? Mm-hmm. How do they help us continue to build facilities? How do they help us make sure that our student athletes have opportunities? Because when you're winning and when you have excitement, that's when people really want to step in and help.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And one more on this, the basketball program, you didn't mention specifically, but obviously when you have two guys who are, you know, massive celebrities coming in as freshmen, Dylan Harper and Ace Bailey, who have hundreds of thousands of followers, you know, everything they do gets, you know, posted on Overtime or SportsCenter Next or whatever. Yeah. What was, you know, Rutgers has one of the smaller arenas in the Big Ten, but it's, you know, I think the best environment or one of the best environments in the country. What is the kind of the media requests been like for the basketball season? Has that been crazy? Do you expect there to be like NBA scouts at every game in the coming year? Like, just kind of talk about what that preparing for the basketball season has been like.
So I expect insanity. I welcome insanity. Look, even if you just look at Dylan's, high school championship game, and then when he was in the house, a week or two after that, the number of little kids running up and asking for autographs and stuff like that, it's going to be. I agree with you. I think it's the best venue in college basketball. I think people are going to be so frustrated that they can't get a ticket next year because I think a lot of people are not going to put their tickets on the secondary market that have done it in the past. They're going to want to see every single game. And it's not just Dylan and Ace. It's the whole recruiting class. And then, you know, we got a bunch of guys in the portal. Maybe some of those guys come back. But, Pikes is going to put together a great team. It won't be just those two guys. It'll be the other guys. Look at what Lathan's done this year, his progression. I'm excited about everybody coming in. I think it'll be crazy. I think there'll be more celebrity requests to get in the house. if I had another 1,000 tickets, they would be gone now. That is one of our challenges as, we've got 8,000.
When your space has the long-lasting, noticeable scent of Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils, it'll be the spot for everyone. From book club to game night, the kids can even host their friends.
Whoa, it smells amazing.
Airwick Vibrant Scented Oils are infused with 2 times more natural essential oils versus regular Airwick Scented Oils for our most authentic, nature-inspired fragrance experience. Transform your space with scents like white sage and mahogany or lavender and water lily. Now that's a breath of fresh air, Wick.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today. And for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley, in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call. Click Grainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Seats, we probably need 15,000 for this coming year. But wow. It'll make the arena just that much more special. And look, the Big Ten, it's still the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of programs around the country that have had really good recruiting classes, and that just makes you a target, right? So every game will be people will be looking at us, and we'll be the hunted, I think, for a good part of the season, and that's fine. That's where we want to be.
So I do want to talk about Jersey Mike's Arena in general, but I'm going to table that for a little bit later in the pod. Facilities wise, probably my favorite topic. I know last time we talked, we talked about the master plan. Is there any updates to that and when that might actually get released?
So one of the things about these master plans is they are constantly evolving, right? They're constantly evolving to adjust to the world, right, that we're in, the expectations, what the needs are.
The
feasibility work around Jersey Mike's continues. We got to get that right. I know what people want. They want all the amenities, and they don't want their seat price to change. They don't want their seat location to change. You know, the good news in this off season is we did not do a reseat. We could have, right? We have, in my time here, we've never done a reseat of the arena. So what I think is most important to people for next year is that they can continue to sit in the seat that they're in. And we may tweak some prices a bit. We're looking at that. That shouldn't surprise anybody. We've had one price increase in 8 years. So we've got to look at that. Because people are very quick to tell me about our deficits and things like that. So if we can add a little revenue to the kitty, we need to do that. We've got we are continuing to adjust those plans. And we are also then sequencing, right? Sequencing is also really important. We need to do things with baseball, softball. Those venues are the worst in the conference. And when I say they're the worst in the conference, it's the worst by far in the conference. And given the quality of what we're doing and the quality of who we're playing as we go forward, I think we need to do something around there. Our field hockey program, Meredith's just done a tremendous job. You know, we're one of two schools in the conference that has their field hockey surface in the middle of a track. We need to get that out of there. And that's better for track, too. Now you see what Bobby Farrell and his team are doing in terms of recruiting. We don't need those two teams crossing over in practice. So we're making adjustments there. Football, obviously, it's really important that we give Greg everything that he needs. And we're continuing to work on the conceptual design of an indoor practice facility for football. That's really important. We've done some really nice things with the Hale Center and some others. And, you know, folks will say, like, listen, the kids coming in today, they're more focused on NIL and those opportunities than what your facilities look like. I still think you have to have good facilities, right? That's a sign of your commitment to your student athletes and your ability to have them grow and develop. We're the only team in the Big Ten that doesn't have a field house, right? We have the bubble, right, which was a temporary facility built back in 1986. and so it's temporarily continued for decades as our primary indoor facility. And ultimately, we need two indoor facilities, right? You need a place where your tracks and your crosses and your others can go in there and practice when they need to practice while your football team is also practicing when it needs to practice. And this is just the deficit that we've had here at Rutgers for a long time. We did not have the facilities we needed when we entered the Big Ten. We have closed the gap, I think, considerably. I'd sort of say we're probably about halfway there in what we need to do. Ultimately, we do need a lacrosse stadium, right? So it'll start with trying to build a practice surface so that, again, you're not sharing fields with football. We get that built. I think that will inspire some folks who, you know, we've got some folks who care about our lacrosse program very much. They've done really well in life. We need them to step up and help us. Brian needs that. He needs that facility. Michigan built their facility a couple years ago, and we see how that's helped that program and helped their recruiting. So we will continue to have to look at all of this. So the master plan is, to me, it's a continually evolving document. So every time that we see something that here's an ability to tweak this and maybe accelerate something because you're doing it in a way that's more cost efficient. So all those things have to be weighed at a time when, you know, the university, has its own financial challenges. And so everything's got to work together. And I credit our coaches. They're very understanding. They want, right? And I want our coaches to want, right? And the administration and the board of Rutgers have been extremely supportive. We'll actually have more conversation around facilities at our upcoming Committee on Intercollegiate Athletics meeting. We present sort of our updates. And, ultimately, we hope to get some of those projects in the ground as quickly as we can.
So kind of another two-parter. What would you say is next, I guess, in terms of facilities? I know you just named a bunch of different ones that you guys want to work on. Is there one specifically you want to work on first? Because I know people see like a facility being built and then they're already like, hey, what's the next one? I mean, they're rocking, had the foundation down. They're like, hey, what's next? Like, it's
I mean, the two, just crazy. The two that we're focused on in terms of big cost efforts, right, is what do we ultimately need to do in terms of an indoor practice facility that can help our football program, right? That's really, really important. And then second, you know, what do we do with Jersey Mike's Arena? As we look at the feasibility, because, you know, I'll take one of those is a facility that supports your most important revenue program, right? Mm-hmm. Your football program. We all know football generates probably 95% of your revenue. Yeah. So you got to make sure Greg has what Greg needs, right? Mm-hmm. Then we also need revenue producing facilities, right? So, one supports a revenue producing team, and then you have a facility that can generate revenue for you. Even this year, we're going to look, you will see at the spring game, there will be a temporary, if you've gone around the country, some football stadiums that don't have suites have sort of done a transition effort, and they put in temporary suites into the stadium. Hmm. So we're looking at doing that. There will be, there's an opportunity for us probably in the south end of the stadium, not the student section, but the wings, right? Yeah. To back toward the concourse, build some temporary suites. We know we have an appetite for it. We know we have an interest from the corporate community. The Provident Club is great, but if you're going to entertain your brokers or whoever it happens to be at a game, you want sort of a semi-private facility where you can entertain your guests. And I've seen these at SMU, at Wisconsin, at Indiana. And so we're working with our partner Revel XP we'll put one temporary suite in a spring game, and we're going to have our corporate partners come by, take a look. And maybe this is something you want to add in terms of your ability to entertain your clients and your guests on a game day. And we will sell as many as there's interest in. And that will be a demonstration project. There's two things. One, it's additional revenue, which is great. Two, it's bringing new people into the stadium who may not have been to the stadium before, and they see the beauty of Big Ten football. And then it, to the extent we're successful with them, that makes my case to build out permanent suites in the stadium and to do permanent improvements, because we do have to improve SHI, not just Jersey Mike's.
Yeah, and obviously what we've talked about a lot is, you know, the limited resources, like money is not infinite and neither is land. We have one of the best tailgating scenes in the country, in my opinion. And those lots kind of probably will overlap with some of these plans will end up being initiated. So what is the plan for the tailgating parking for football? Are we looking into possibly moving certain lots elsewhere? I know the University of Michigan has a golf course right across from the stadium that they do a lot of their parking in. Something like that being thought about? Kind of where are your thoughts with parking for football and tailgating?
Yeah, well, fortunately for those who love their tailgate lots, there'll be no change for this coming season. We're not going to be in the ground on any of these other projects through this next fall. The following spring, perhaps. I've been to every stadium in the conference. I think we have more spots closer to our stadium than any other Big Ten team program. Mm-hmm. And now that's great, because when you get into the yellow lot or the blue lot or the scarlet lot or the white lot, any of those lots that are close to the stadium, it's great because you're really close to the stadium. So 5 minutes before kick, you can get into the stadium. Now, the disadvantage of that is at the end of the game, when you want to get home, when you want to get out, it's harder to get out. But, we're packing you as close to the stadium, so folks just have to understand, look, if they've been to State College and try to get out of State College after a game, our wait times are much, much less. But you know, you want to be close to the stadium, right? So, so this coming season, it'll be fine. As we look at where are some of these new facilities properly located, it certainly can impact some of these lots that are really close. But you made a good point, and it's something we've already looked at and talked about, is there is an opportunity perhaps to use some of the holes on the golf course, you know, on the fairways to park cars. That won't happen this fall. Listen, ultimately, I'd love to do some things to improve our golf course. I think folks who know me know I'm a little bit passionate about a game that I don't play well. but I'd love to do some things to improve. And I will shout out to Grant Vizek, who is our course superintendent. I think he's now in his third or fourth year there. And what he has done with the golf course, I drove by it this morning. It looks fantastic. He's really improved it. We'd like to improve it even more. And one of the things that you can do then is those holes that run along near the stadium. Obviously, you're not parking cars on the greens or the bunkers or on the tee box. Put a lot of cars into those spaces. And I've been to, it's not just Michigan. There's a lot of schools around the country that will use their golf course facilities. And you can still keep your course open. It may be a 14-hole course that day or something like that. So you balance. And it's only at most 7 days a year, right? So to do that, to keep people close to the stadium, we're going to always try to give our fans the best experience that we possibly can, while they also understand that when we get 53,000 people in there, you're not getting home 5 minutes after the game. So you're going to sit around for a while. You know, bring some extra sandwiches, maybe some desserts, you know, sit around, relax, let people get out of the different lots. And I would love to go through a season where I don't get the 1,000 emails about the wait time to get out of lots. Be happy. You stay to the end of the game, and we're doing pretty well.
It's true. Yeah. Yep.
I will say, if you're going to keep 14 holes open, I have a pretty mean slice. So I don't know if this is going to work out well, but it wasn't me that hit the ball. It was the guy behind me.
Well, at least you know how to aim. See, I got a slice. I can go in any direction. So, four is a popular word.
Well, you pull the Bubba Watson, you aim at that left tree, and it's going to land in the middle, and it works every time.
I'll talk about Scott Goodell. When I first got here, Scotty had a terrible slice, and he did it with his TaylorMade burner bubble driver, which I used to kid him to do back at the Smithsonian. But he's worked on his game.
My first set.
And he hits the ball pretty straight now, which is good. I think he's a better golfer than me, but you and I could definitely play together.
Hey, you let me know. Drinks are on me.
All right, sounds good.
You talked about the in-game experience. I think one of the best new things Rutgers has brought out in terms of game experience is the boardwalk. I think that's been a massive success. Some fans have talked about possibly bringing back stuff like the Alley or the Winter Village for basketball. Are there any big improvements for the game experience for this fall that fans should be aware of, or this winter? Anything that you think is noteworthy or a change that fans should look ahead for?
Well, shout out to PJ Mullen and his entire staff for the boardwalk. Lisa Terrell also very involved in that. They've just done a phenomenal job. I mean, it's now an experience. We do now have people who I think come and they want to come down to the boardwalk. They want to enjoy that. They want to enjoy the food, the rides. Mm-hmm. I've told PJ and team that I will not be happy until we have a roller coaster there.
I remember you saying that.
I'm not sure that that's going to happen. We're going to keep looking at how do we improve the boardwalk? How do we make it an even better experience? So I think, you know, every year you build. One of these years I'd love to flatten Athletes Glen. You know, we've got the creek that runs through the middle of it, and I think that's a wasted opportunity. If we can flatten that area in there, it'll allow much greater activation within Athletes Glen. So I'd like to see that happen, and we've talked about that here at the university. I think we will get there eventually. Maybe it's going to be as a result of one of these other building projects that we do, where we have to excavate and you got to find a place to put some of this material. Hey, we're better to do it than there. We are working at trying to bring the Winter Village back. There's going to be a lot going on in Jersey Mike's Arena this season. So,
that's right here.
You know, if you got some things that you can do outside, that entertain people, maybe get people there earlier so that you don't have the crunch in getting into the arena. It really worked well. People liked it. They want it. So we're looking at what can we do there and maybe even expand on what we did with the Winter Village. The alley, you know, that's going to be a place that's forever in Rutgers lore.
You're so, not kidding.
You know, it's funny because, you know, that was, I guess, 7 years ago at this point.
Yeah.
And I have freshmen that they get to Rutgers and it's after the convocation and they come up, they go, Mr. Hobbs, when are we getting the alley? Like, how do you even know about the alley? you know, we'll continue to try to work with student affairs on getting opportunities for our students here at Rutgers to enjoy themselves. There's challenges, obviously, because you can't have underage drinking there. I love getting our students onto the campus around the stadium as quickly as we can. Right. I think it's on a game day. If you've got 10,000, 12,000 students who are all around the stadium, whether it's in sort of a designated area for them or anywhere else where you get that stadium packed at the beginning of the game. Right. You talk to any coach in the country. What they hope for is a stadium that is full at the beginning of the game, not trickling in. And I will give our students tremendous credit. Most full section in our football stadium on game day early is the student section. Mm-hmm. I credit them and they're great, right? The interchange between our student section and the rest of the fans, whether it's in SHI Stadium or in Jersey Mike's Arena, I think is special. We'll always look to see, is there something we can do outside? The boardwalk, I think, is great because our students at Rutgers like the boardwalk as well. But the alley may be just part of Rutgers lore. We'll see.
Let me ask you this, because some fans have speculated. Can you technically make the alley a parking lot and then tailgate on the rec fields?
Listen,
is that a possibility,
I think all that's a possibility. I remember my first away game was at the University of Washington, and they had some turf fields very close to the stadium. And one of the things they had in there, which I thought was great, was they had sort of those a bubble park for little kids, you know, so they had all those sort of bubble playthings, and there's kids running, and it was like a big daycare. There was a fence around it. And the parents were enjoying both adult beverages and non-adult beverages outside before going to the stadium while their kids were in there. They were kicking soccer balls. They were running around. They were shooting hoops. All of that stuff was sort of in that venue. Mm-hmm. So that's something I think we can also look at. And it's obviously really close to the boardwalk as well. So, all of this stuff, I assume PJ Mullen will listen to this podcast at some point and maybe he'll say, hey, you know what? Let's take a look at that. Because he's always looking for what can I do next? How do we keep improving this fan experience?
Well, this kind of predates your time. But like when I was a kid growing up, they had the little kid zone where the soccer state fields are. That was perfect. Yep. It was little inflatable stuff. That was great.
The inflatables. That's for them. And that's what I saw at Washington. And I think they have that in other places. And listen, that's creating the next generation of passionate Scarlet Knight football fans, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
It was, you know, I love – I have a guy that I met a couple weeks ago, and he was just telling me about how his kids are just passionate Scarlet Knight fans, and they're 6 and 7 years old, and they don't want to miss a game. They want to watch everything. That's something that's always happened here in New Jersey, but I think that's happening in larger and larger numbers. You know, you look at the applications to the university now, you know, you hear around New Jersey now is, I don't know if my kid can get into Rutgers. Want them, right? And they want to go to Rutgers, and they want to come, and they want to see this basketball program next year. They want to see our football program and the way it's competing. So those things which weren't always, you know, the same, like, again, we go to other states around the country, and, you know, you grow up being whatever fan of that state university is, right? You're passionate. I'm seeing that now happening here in New Jersey in increasing numbers, and that's pretty exciting stuff. We're creating the next generation.
Yeah,
and like you said, you know, Rutgers had an all-time record for applications this past year, a huge increase. I think it was like a 60% increase from 23 to 24. So it is much harder to get into than when I was going there, when Richie was going there. I honestly don't know if I would have gotten in at this point.
Probably the same boat.
we all want to say that about our universities, right?
Yeah, I
couldn't get in there because that means your university is doing pretty well.
Yep.
But you got your degree. So, you know, no matter how it's like Pikel used to say, buy stock in Rutgers, right? The value is going up, right?
Yep.
You bought stock in Rutgers, so it's good.
Yeah. So I noticed you have a little logo on your chest, and not the Block R, the other one. apparel deal. What's the latest here? What can you tell us? What can't you tell us?
Yeah, so we have extended with our partner, Adidas.
Okay, so
and,
confirmed.
I think the contract is, well, contract's being finalized.
Okay.
And as soon as it's finalized, we'll put it out there public. But we have a great partnership with Adidas, and we'll continue that partnership. And they're very excited, obviously, about what we're doing here. And yeah, they'll be very happy that Bob's is, you know, promoting the Adidas brand and the Adidas partnership.
Cover this one.
Thank you.
In terms of college football or college sports in general, expansion has been, you know, the same level of importance the last, you know, decade as it ever has been. Unfortunately, it sounds like a conference kind of died out because of the frenzy. Do you expect further expansion amongst the Big Ten and other conferences in the next few years? Or is that just something that's always going to happen? We just kind of got to live with that reality.
So, listen, I think anything is possible, right? One of the things that has driven expansion, right, is the value of brands and the value of the markets in which those brands compete, right? So between the SEC and the Big Ten right now, I think I don't know that you'll see, I could be wrong, but I don't know that you'll see further expansion at the, right now. I think we're in a pause. I think, you know, our commissioner, we have really well represented by Commissioner Tony Petitti. And obviously Greg Sankey's been down the SEC and done a heck of a job there for a long time. You know, those are the two conferences that folks would love to be part of. But we all have, the way I sort of have expressed it in the past is we all have bankers, and those bankers are Fox and CBS and ESPN, right? And NBC, your media partners. Because of football, right? Because of the football, they are going to tell you what brands are additive and what are reductive. And you want to make sure, like, you know, we took us 7 years to get full share into the Big Ten. You know, Rutgers does not want, and I don't believe Ohio State or any of the other folks in our conference would want dilutive just to add teams, right? So I think you have to be pretty strategic about it. Now that the CFP sort of is, you know, they're still figuring out the final details of that, but those opportunities, I know, you know, clearly, obviously, there's programs that are suing to get out of their conferences. I don't know that they have landing spots yet. You know, obviously not privy to those conversations. I'll be as curious as you are. I think we've got four great schools that have come in with SC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon. They are all iconic brands, right? They're all great universities. And so they are clearly were additive to the Big Ten. And as, you know, down the road, when we go for, the next media contract, I think you'll see the value in that. And plus, I think what we're going to do as a conference over the next 5 to 6 years in terms of success is just going to further demonstrate the quality of the Big Ten. And that's what people are going to watch on Saturday. And that's what they're going to want to watch throughout the week with our other programs as well. Like, look what's happened with volleyball in this conference, right? Wrestling, you know, softball is growing. So, you know, football, basketballs, and, you know, look at what Caitlin Clark did for Iowa. I think that doesn't just help Iowa. That brings talent into the Big Ten across the board. So the next Caitlin Clark, you know, could be a young woman at Rutgers, right? And that's what we certainly hope. And then, again, I'm going to need 18,000 seats. So I think expansion, I don't see much more happening right now, but I'm just one voice. And I keep an eye on it. We'll keep an eye on the litigation that's happening down in the ACC. I feel for my good friend, Commissioner Jim Phillips. I think he's doing a great job. This is a tough time to be a commissioner, I'll tell you that.
Oh, yeah. So I got one more for you, Pat. You're approaching the nine-year mark this fall as being Rutgers athlete. No, I'm just saying. That's what the dates say. That's what the stats say. You're approaching the nine-year mark. I got a kind of another two-parter. What does the future look like for you, and what do you want your lasting legacy to be at Rutgers? Do you want people to be like, hey, that's the guy with the statue outside the football facility?
I don't anticipate that's going to happen.
I'm just saying. I'm always pitching the Pikel statue idea, so we can get that one going.
And the Greg statue, too.
The Greg statue? I mean, just build them, right?
We need to build other things before we build statues.
All right, that's fair. That's fair.
Although, we have the victory statue courtesy of the Grudy family, and that is a extremely popular picture spot.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks to Ron and Joanna. I came here almost 9 years ago because I grew up here in New Jersey, and I always thought, Rutgers can be great. They can be great in athletics, and that maybe I could play some role in helping to achieve that. We've got an amazing state. I love it. I love it here in New Jersey. People say, where are you going to retire to? I always say New Jersey. I don't care about the taxes or anything else. I love the state. I love the beaches. I love everything about this place. We have a citizenry that are becoming prouder and prouder, whether they went to Rutgers or not. They're cheering on Rutgers, and they want to see Rutgers be successful. We've got 700 student athletes who I love working with every day. That's the best part of the job, seeing them have success, whether it's on the field, whether it's going off to success in different industries. I like what our programs have done and how they're growing. We talked about this coming year, pretty excited about this coming year. If my legacy is Pat Hobbs helped improve Rutgers athletics, that's good enough for me. It's a credit to everybody who's here. It's a credit to our coaches. I say this publicly, I think we have the best group of head coaches in the country, bar none. I sleep at night because of the coaches I have. I love the way they recruit. They recruit with integrity. They try to do things the right way. I feel really, I feel for them right now because they're in this new landscape, this new world. They're all trying to adjust to it. They've got kids that are coming in and they're recruiting, and they want to know, they're asking different questions than they did some years ago. It's the coaches, it's the staff. I have an amazing, group of deputy ADs here who work hard every day. I could probably disappear for a couple months, and I think this thing would keep running just maybe better, maybe better. They're really good. They're really talented. I love that we're supported by our great president, Jonathan Holloway. He's a guy who knows what a D1 athlete is. He's been tremendously supportive. Our board has been great. You see ADs leaving universities because they don't feel they were supported by their board. Mm-hmm. Just the opposite here. We're really in a great spot right now. And I'm glad that, I've been able to play some role in doing that. I have no idea how long I have the privilege of doing this. Sometimes people tell you we need to make a change or whatever, but I'm enjoying the job. I'm really excited about this coming year. I'm happy for our student athletes, for our coaches, and I'm happy for the people at Rutgers University because they deserve a winner.
I couldn't agree more. Yeah. Matt, you've been very gracious with your time. Is there anything you want to close us out with here before we head out?
No, listen, I thank you guys for the attention that you bring to our programs. I think you're incredibly fair. You're very engaged. Your work is really, really important. Folks, they used to turn on Walter Cronkite and David Brinkley at night, and those guys.
Showing your age here.
I am definitely showing my age here. But now they get their information, they get their news from folks like you, and you do a really good job of asking questions, tough questions sometimes, right? Yeah. But they're deserving. So continue to do what you do, and let's all get excited for a really, really exciting next year. But remember, this year's not over. We got lacrosse is going, baseball, softball, track. So every Balzer is going to go down and compete in bars for us in the NCAA regional. So we've got some stuff going on.
Absolutely. An exciting season currently, but we got another one coming in the fall. Pat, can't thank you enough for coming on once again. But for me and Richie, this has been another edition of the Knit Report podcast.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile. And the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time. There's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.